You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-all-fits branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear, all backed by above-and-beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code pod20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20, code pod20, for 20% off your first product.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
With me in our studio in the Lansdowne, Ken Mayer, in the Poets Bar here just off reception. Karen Coakley, who's the founder of Ken Mayer Foodie and Kerry Food Tours. Joe Thomas is an artist and fiddle player from the this part of the country as well. And Paul O'Connor, former Kerry footballer. You're all very, very welcome. Thanks, folks. Thanks a million for joining us. So, I mean, Karen, if you were selling Ken Mayer then to people, I mean, how do you do it? What is it you like about this part of the world?
It's such an easy sell. So first of all, it's just the location where we are. As you said, Kilmara, the head of the bay, and like as you run out from the bay, you've got the two peninsulas. You've got the Bear Peninsula and you've got the Ivera Peninsula. It's a very unique location. And like, as I say on the food tour, people come to Kenmare, they fall in love with it and they never leave. And that makes for just this huge mix of people who all bring something to the table. But also when you walk around Kenmare itself, there's just a lovely feeling. Like you walk down Henry Street in the middle of summer and you've got all those tables and chairs outside and you just see people who are here and they're sitting out, the sun is shining sometimes, you know, and even if it's raining, they'll still sit outside and soak it up. And just that atmosphere, I often say if I could bottle that atmosphere and sell that, I would be a very wealthy woman. It's just something unique.
Joe, that kind of influx of people who come and they never leave. I John Brennan was telling me a little bit earlier, about 30 or 40% almost of the population of this part of the world kind of are not originally from here, which is, you know, it's huge. That must have an influence as well on the kind of the artistic community, does it?
To a certain extent, yeah. I mean, that goes back 2,000 years, around the beginning of the Bronze Age, 4,000 years.
Jeez, Joe, if you go back that far, we all came from somewhere else.
Okay, yeah. And then, I was going to say that the Kenmare Bay is called Inverskena, Inlet of Skena, who was a prince. It's a long story, but I won't get into that.
Oh, go on, tell us a bit about it.
Okay, yes. Amergin, who wrote the first poem in Ireland back in the Bronze Age, 2000 BC, and he came up the Kenmare Bay with Skena, his princess wife. They came from Galicia. And anyway, they had a fight with the Tuatha De Danann. And somewhere along the line, Skena died and is under a dolmen down by Carsevine, is it? And do you not know that?
Didn't know that, no.
Anyway, so he grief-stricken at the loss of his beloved princess, dedicated the Kenmare Bay to her, and it's called Inverskena, like Inlet of Skena. So people have been coming to Kenmare, and it's just the beauty around the place, you know, since, you know, what's his name? The landlord, William Petty, back in whatever that was.
Yeah. Oh, and the Petty Fitzmaurices, who are the earls of wherever, Lansdowne. Actually, yeah. I think it is Lansdowne, isn't it?
It is Lansdowne, yeah.
Hotel. They still own the freehold, I understand, on a lot of the property here. So places like the park are paying something like kind of, a euro a year kind of rate.
Okay, yeah.
Rent.
I think most of those, they were kind of bought out.
Yeah.
But there are things like the beautiful park, Rena Gross. Have you been down there?
No.
Oh, it's just below the Park Hotel. It's on the water, on the sea. It's just a little...
I was living here about a year when I discovered Rena Gross, and when I found it, my mind was blown. It's literally the other side of town, so it's just like the opposite side of the Park Hotel. And like that, I went in there with the kids, and I was like, why has nobody ever told me this was here? Because it's not spoken about, because it's just something that we have. But it is absolutely beautiful. Like, there's the laurel trees, the rhododendrons in May.
They
go into bloom, and there's a tunnel.
They're not meant to like rhododendrons now anymore.
No, it depends on the rhododendron. The purple, the one that gets... that takes over along the park, you know, the national park over in Killarney is bad news. Yeah. What's that called? I can't remember.
Yeah, anyway, that's some type of rhododendron.
Yeah.
So the music scene in this part of the country, how vibrant is it?
Well, it's always been, you know, there's always been music. As far as I remember, there's always been music. And I've been playing music since I was a kid. And so I went down to the convent learning the piano when I was seven. So there's obviously Sister Benignus. I won't say what her nickname was, but it's very close to that. But it's a bit rude. And anyway, she'd hit you over the knuckles with a ruler if you hit a bum note.
Okay.
very encouraging. But there must, so there must have been, you know, and this hotel, there's Jack Moran, Ernest J. Moran, who was a very famous English composer, who was buried in the graveyard out the country. He died off the pier in Kenmare, and he used to live in Kenmare, and Ernest J., Jack Moran, as he was known. So there's also, and then there's been traditional music for a long time.
Well, listen, I want to talk to you about kind of the Nuns and music and the Pogues and Shane McGowan in just a moment. But Paul O'Connor is with us as well. So, Paul, I mean, Kenmare, unique in so many ways. One way it's probably not that unique is it, compared to the rest of Kerry, is the kind of the love of football, which kind of infuses the county.
Yeah, I suppose there's a, it's not no secret that I suppose the football here in Kerry itself is it's a, just part of our culture, really. And I suppose it kind of speaks volumes for who we are. We all love the game. I suppose if you're outside the county, it's like you say, from Kerry, like it's one of the first things we'll always be asked, like, oh, we Kerry win the All-Ireland this year. It's kind of, show me, and Kerry people we are, we'll always play it down, of course, but sure.
Yeah. But club training, then I take it, unfortunately, back up and running probably this week after the weekend.
We hadn't stopped for the last few months anyway, but it's a case of we just have to ramp it up a small bit now. I suppose the championship is 2 weeks earlier than we hoped. I suppose it was fixed for mid-August, and with the unfortunate result the weekend now, I suppose it's brought forward 2 weeks, so...
Were you up at the match?
I did. I went up, got the train up Saturday morning and back down Sunday night. So home for 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, really?
But, just the extra time and stuff, I suppose, just delayed the trains and stuff. But I suppose 15 minutes to go, I think things were looking good. We were 5 points up and I suppose in control to a certain degree. But I suppose when the goal went in, then I suppose Armagh themselves and the crowd, I suppose, got behind them. And they kind of took over and I suppose they didn't really look like losing after that, really. And when it got to extra time, they just had to have that.
Yeah, they did look strong. It's always funny for us outside Kerry looking in because we're always trying to work out exactly where they're at. And we often don't know where you're at until maybe All-Ireland semi-final stage.
Yeah, I suppose.
You know, this idea maybe you don't really show your true colour.
It's not that, I suppose a lot of it comes down to, I suppose, the opposition that you're playing.
I suppose,
in fairness to Clare, was the first game they gave us a good rattle. And we all said, oh, it's the first game, we'll get into third, fourth gear now, and then Cork ran us to 3 points. It was another close game, and I suppose it was just the group stages against Monaghan, Loud and Meath. I just don't think we got the challenge there to get us up to the real match fitness of an All-Ireland quarter-final, semi-final. Like, we struggled over Derry, and then I suppose Armagh had the tough games played. They had it in the legs, and you could even see with the Kerry boys the last day they were going down with cramp. I just don't think the match fitness was there.
Yeah.
Just
it's that balance, is it? You don't want too many of those tough games in the trot, but you need a couple of them.
You need a certain amount,
It's interesting. So, Karen, from a foodie point of view then, I mean, what kind of food is synonymous with this part of the world?
Wow. Well, I suppose Kenmare has always been known for its restaurants and its hotels and tourism. So, like, you take it back to Mora Foley and Packy's and the Lime Tree back in the day. So they would have always drawn people in. I moved here from West Cork, and I think for me growing up in West Cork, we always had local artisan produce, which was the thing that shines out there. I moved to Kenmare in 2000, and while you did have the restaurants, you didn't have the, let's say, the produce on the ground. But 24 years later, and that's all changed. Like, my food tour takes about 2.5 or 3 hours. We have 5 stops on every tour, but I could pick from 10 different stops, and everything is made in Kenmare, so it's all hyper-local produce.
And how did that change come about? Was it kind of natural, or were there people who drove it, who looked at the likes of West Cork and said, you know what, we need to do that here?
I think it's a change that happened throughout the country. I think simply, you know, Irish people travelled. If you think about it, in the 1980s when I grew up, you know, people didn't travel, and then all of a sudden in the 1990s and the noughties we travelled, but we wanted to bring home flavours with us. So we looked for stuff that we tasted abroad, and also then you had a lot of Irish chefs, you know, the countrywide, who had left and who had learnt new techniques and new flavours, and they came home and they all brought something to the plate or to the table. And then Kenmare, as I said, you just have this huge mix of people. So let's say we've our local chocolatier, Benoit Lorge. Benoit is from France. He came working to Sheen Falls when Sheen Falls opened originally. You've got Alain Bras. He's got an amazing wine shop in town. You can go in and you can pick out your beautiful wines with Alain. Again, he came working to Sheen Falls. I think you might be meeting Aileen Crean O'Brien, who came working to the Park Hotel. So Aileen is now creating, brewing beer with her husband Bill here. And it's just, you have all of this in this tiny little town, and it's something to be very proud of.
So, Joe, tell me then about when this tiny little town was visited by the Pogues.
Well, we used to have an arts festival called the Cabal, because it's a Kool-Aid word meaning crack and fun and enjoyment. And it became popular, right? So there's a guy that was managing the Pogues at the time, Frank Murray. And Frank, I knew Frank and Henry, so he asked us if we could have the Pogues. And we said, well, you know, even at that stage, when was that, 84, I think it was, the first time. And they were very getting popular in England, so we said, so they came and they played in Riversdale, and it was a huge success. And then they wanted to come back. So they came back in about 87, but we put them on in the basketball court in the school because we couldn't get Riversdale at that stage for whatever reason. So that was, we built a stage and put them on, but we didn't call them, we called them the McMahons.
Oh, to throw people off the scent, wasn't it?
Because they were too far. They were too big.
Yeah,
and they were doing it for nothing because they just wanted to do it because of the Cabal. So we said, okay, but I insisted that they change the name to McMahons. It used to be Pogue Mahone, right?
Yeah.
Which is what they originally called them. BBC banned that. Anyway, so they came and they played and then at one stage the Nuns came through. There's lots of various things. Like one time there was a guy called Aidan Walsh. Christy Moore and various people were on, on the same weekend, including Seamus Heaney and blah, blah, blah. But there's a guy called Aidan Walsh who was he used to dress as a cowboy and he was the hot thing at the time. He was down as well and he was going in dressed as a cowboy and a guy called Bill Topham was doing the door and Bill said, you have to lose the guns. And your man said, no, but they're not real. He said, no guns. there's a lot of, so the Nuns came along, Sister Philomena, Concilio, and I think maybe Sister Helen, and they wanted to go in. I was like, oh, I don't know. And it was packed. There's about 500 people in there.
Yeah.
I was looking at the program. It was £4 in, which I suppose in 87 was. So they insisted on going in. But it was my heart beating and I was thinking, God. So they went in and they walked to the stage, right? And the crowd just parted.
Yeah.
Really, I think the concert was about halfway through at that stage. So everybody was, they were hopping. But when they saw the Nuns, it was just like the parting of the sea of, by Moses or whatever. They just walked up to the front of the stage and stood there for a while. I think Shane said, thank you for the, good evening, sisters. Good afternoon. There's an afternoon gig. Yeah. Thank you for the use of the hall, basically. And they stood there for a number or two and then they left.
Well, they enjoyed it, did they?
I don't know if they enjoyed it. But,
all right.
They witnessed it.
They witnessed it. Yeah, well, listen, maybe they're somewhere bragging about it today. Paul, I hate to read this text out for you. Great to see Kerry and Dublin gone. We need new champion. It's been a long time, actually, since we haven't had Kerry, Dublin, or Kilkenny or Limerick involved in an All-Ireland final. Neither, you probably just go back about 15 years.
I suppose, in fairness, for the GAA in general, I suppose it's probably good to have the likes of them gone. You hate to say it and all that when you are from Kerry, but I suppose from a neutral point of view, it is good to see, it will be good to see a different name on the trophy. For the San Miguel, Galway Armagh, they haven't, it's over 2 decades since they've been there.
Whose name is going to be on it?
I'll go for Galway, to be honest. They just played that small bit more of attacking brand of football as opposed to Armagh. So, you have to attack to win. So, I'll be shouting for Galway anyway.
We'll have to wait and see. Listen, thanks a million, everybody, for popping into us here in studio in the Lansdowne, Kenmare. Joe?
Can I just want to say one thing? I'm Joe Toma, not Thomas. It's Thomas without the S.
Oh, okay. Thomas without the S. That's a good way to pronounce
Toma.
It. Joe Toma, artist and fiddle player. Karen Coakley, founder of Kenmare Foodie and Kerry Food Tours. Paul O'Connor, former Kerry footballer. Thank you all very much, for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-fits-all branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a branded apparel supplier to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code pod20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code pod20 for 20% off your first product.